Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to focus on one aspect of the second phase of da'wah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went public and took a very aggressive way of conveying Islam, by when the people rejected him, etc. When I say aggressive, I mean, idea for idea. He did not try to compromise with them on any part. And this is what we will see today, inshallah. So today, what we are focusing on is the reaction of Quraysh. Well, how did Quraysh react to the call of Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought? So of course, they have followed different tactics, different approaches. One of them was what they started with was to try to put pressure on his uncle, Abu Talib. So they went to Abu Talib, and we mentioned this before, and they would this when we say they went to Abu Talib, we're talking about the leadership of the society, the leadership of Quraysh. This is the creme of the creme, as they say. So they came to his uncle and said, your nephew has cursed our four of our gods, ridiculed our way of thinking, and made fun of our beliefs, etc., etc. So stop him. By the way, before I stop, just as a comment on the side, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started cursing their gods, and they said, if you don't stop, we're going to curse your God, So Allah ta'ala revealed the ayah, وَلَا تُسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّوا اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عَلْمٍ, that do not curse what the others worship aside from Allah, so that they don't curse Allah ta'ala in aggression or in adwan and without knowledge, because if they know, they would not be cursing the Creator. So from this, by the way, this ayah, as well as a hadith, and just as a side note, as I said, which is in al-Bukhari, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, mal'oonun man sabba waliday, cursed be the one who curses his parents. So they said, ya Rasulullah, wa kayfa yasubbu ar-rajulu waliday? How does the father, how does the man, how does the one of us curse his parents, his own parents? He said, yasubbu aba ar-rajuli fa yasubbu aba, fa yasubbu aba, that وَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ فَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ, that the person would curse somebody's father and the other person, curses his father, and you curse his mother and he curses your mother. So you caused it, in other words. The ulama, by the way, they use these two, the ayah and the hadith, not exclusively, no, there are others, to show that whatever leads to haram is haram. So cursing their father, their gods, is going to lead to cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is leads to haram. So it becomes the cursing their gods becomes haram. Even though it in itself, it's fine. You're cursing idols. They're not living beings, but since it leads to something that's haram becomes haram. And that's one of the rules in usul al-fiqh. What leads to haram is haram. This is from the evidence that they use. So anyway, they said that he ridiculed our way of thinking, our gods, our beliefs, etc. So either that you start, you tell him to stop, or let us handle him, meaning stop protecting him. And Abu Talib returned them, sent them off, kindly, basically, without any commitment from him. But then they started ridiculing the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and belittling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and calling him a liar. Now, he's a Sadiq al-Amin. He was known all his life to be the truthful and the honest. So all of a sudden, now we're calling you a liar. Why? Because he brought a message that is not suitable for their society from their point of view, that it's going to change the setup of the society itself, and that's threatening to their interests and to their leadership, their benefits, their leadership positions, etc. So they confronted him, Not because they were not convinced that he was a prophet, because as Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَحَدُوهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا, that they denied it, they rejected the message, but internally inside they had the absolute belief that it was a message from Allah Ta'ala. Why did they reject it? ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا, injustice as an act of injustice, and arrogance plays huge role in deviation, in not accepting the truth, in, you know, because, you know, somebody tells me, Muhammad, you have just did something wrong, you know, me, I told by you, who are you to tell me, you know, and this is the arrogance that misled them. So they made fun of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَآكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا أَهَذَا الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ أَهْلِهَتَكُمْ وَهُمْ بِذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Is this, you know, if the disbelievers see you, they take you as a mockery, as a huzwa, they make fun of you. Is this the one who is talking critically about your gods? Is he the one who's talking about your gods? وَإِذَا رَأَوْكَ إِنْ يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوَا هَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولًا. And if they see you, they start making fun of you. They mock you. Is this the one whom Allah Ta'ala sent as the messenger to all mankind? This is the person that Allah Ta'ala chose out of all mankind so that he would choose him? Again, mockery and belittling him, etc. But of course, you know, his reaction, and this is the reaction, you know, and this is the what makes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam somebody who can be imitated, emulated, is that his da'wah was done on a human level. It wasn't angels protecting him. It wasn't, you know, doing things in a supernatural way. All of a sudden he floats in the air and he conquers Mecca like that, and he, you know, whatever he did alayhi salatu wasalam can be followed by his followers. And that's why what was his reaction to this mockery and to this patience? He did not, whether you know, and Allah Ta'ala gave him the opportunity like he did with the Ta'if. Later on we'll talk about that phase of the da'wah. But whether Allah Ta'ala gave him that opportunity to go and destroy them all or not, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, he did not act on it. You know, so it was left as still, what do you do when there is harm inflicted on you? It's patience. So Allah Ta'ala comforts him by saying, وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسْلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And other messengers before you were mocked and were made fun of. You know, what happened to them, to those people in the past? فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Whatever they were making fun of actually caught up with them. Meaning the punishment, whether the punishment during their life or the punishment in the graves after they died, or whatever, however Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And now they did not, you know, look at how what they kept on, they became incoherent in trying to describe the Quran. They didn't really know what to say about the Quran. So بَلْقَالُوا أَطْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ, they said, oh, this is just dreams. You know, so the fact that the Prophet ﷺ can speak the way he speaks, the Quran, this speech, أَطْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ, this is just the matters of a dream. بَلْ افْتَرَاهُ, it's made up. بَلْ هُوَ شَعْرُ, no, it's poetry. You know, he's a poet. Or when they said, أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُوا آلِهَتِنَا لِشَعْرٍ مَجْنُونَ, are we going to leave our gods for a crazy poet? For a crazy poet, somebody who is the most insane the most sane of all of them, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, to be described as insane. And Sha'ir, even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is just a matter of fact, he was not a poet. He had no poems. He had not before the message of Islam, not after. He had no lines of poetry that were written or documented that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made up. The closest that he came to, you know, is what they say, which the Arabs used to say. that he would recite during weddings. You know, أتيناكم أتيناكم ولولا الحنطة السوداء ما سمنت عذاريكم, and that you know, just some rhyme that others used to do, but that was not his own making anyway. So Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم was never a poet. They all knew that he was not a poet, and still they would describe him as crazy poet. You know, أن يقولون شاعر نتربص به ريب المنون, or they said, okay, he's a poet, and we'll just wait for him until he dies. He's going to die at some point, so we'll just wait it out, wait him out. وقالوا ما هذا إلا حديث مفترى, and they said, this speech is nothing but fabricated speech, meaning not from God. It is something that is this somebody who is now you're saying that his speech is muftara, fabricated. It is falsehood, and this is the person for most of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, was called the truthful and the honest. From truthful to honest to now a fabricator of speech, you know, that would have to keep to have an impact on the person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often responded to them. يعني, and when they said that, you know, وَقَالُوا مُعَلَّمٌ مَجْنُونَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِظُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ, I am admonishing you, I am advising you to do one thing. أَنْ تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ, that you stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَثْنَا وَفُرَادَ ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا, do it one at a time, two at a time, consult each other. But, you know, ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا, then think. مَا بِصَاحِبِكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةِ, there is no madness in you with this man. I mean, madness is something that can be manifested, can be shown. You can see a person who is insane, you know, the way they behave. They're erratic, they are incoherent, they are, you know. Where is the incoherence in the message of Islam? Where is the incoherence in the behavior of the Prophet himself? And emphasizing, and as Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِيَّكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And this is very interesting because they're saying that Allah Ta'ala described them, وَإِيَّكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ, they're looking at you so sharp as if they are going through you, you know. لما سمعوا الذكر, when they hear the remembrance, meaning when they hear the Quran, ويقولون أنه لمجنون, and they say that he is a madman, he is crazy. And Allah Ta'ala, look at this, despite the position that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says is in, people are calling you crazy, people are calling you insane, people are calling you mad, people are calling you fabricator, etc. And he says, وما هو إلا ذكر للعالمين. From that point, he's talking about that this remembrance is for all mankind. Meaning, he did not even restrict himself to Quraysh or to Mecca or to the Arabs or, you know, no, the message from day one, from the early stages, telling them that this message is for mankind. This is not, you know, and the big gap, and when you say it, a person whom his companions are being, you know, tortured, punished. He's being, you know, all of the machinery was working against him. He's against the society, you know, and then he's still saying, وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And this is a remembrance to mankind. That shows that the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم made the message of Islam the source of his view and the source of his direction, not the reality as seen by the human being. Meaning the human being comes and says, man, you're alone. How many people believe in you? You know, look at what they're piling up against you. They're calling you even crazy. They look what they did to Bilal or they did to Khabbab. And we'll talk about them, inshallah, ta'ala, in next week. But that's the human mind. The human mind works within the around them. What, you know, what is possible, what I can do. And often succumbs or gives in to what he sees or what the person sees as, this is what I can do, I cannot do more. The one who puts the deen, puts the iman as the foundation, goes beyond that. becomes guided by the message, not by what is quote unquote allowed in the society, what's not allowed in the society. And that is when we say وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ الْعَالَمِينَ. Despite all of that, still the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم insisting this message is for mankind. So, I mean, there are many ayat, by the way, talking about the same thing and the responses. Now, you know, al-Bukhari reported that Abu Jahl came mocking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did Abu Jahl say? Abu Jahl said, Allahumma in kana hada huwa al-haqq min indika fa'amtir alayna hijaratin min as-samaya wa'itina bi'adabin alim. Oh Allah, remember, the Arabs were idol worshippers. They were not atheists. So they believed in Allah. They believed in God. So they say, he said, Abu Jahl, he said, oh Allah, if this were the truth from you, you know, let stones be rained upon us from the sky or rush us with a severe punishment. You know, if this is true, we need, you know, and Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayat, you know, really repeating what Abu Jahl said verbatim. And after that, he says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala is not going to punish them while you are amongst them, while the Prophet is amongst them. And Allah Ta'ala will not punish them while they ask for forgiveness. They made fun of the Prophet ﷺ, saying that you're only a human being. You know, when they said, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. How come that this messenger, look at the way they, it's presented, هذا الرسول, this messenger, you know, who claims he's a messenger, he eats food, meaning like us, وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, and he walks in the markets just like us. لولا أنزل عليه ملك فيكون معه نذيرا. Why didn't he have an angel on his side so he would be warning the people alongside him? أو يلقى إليه كنز أو تكون له جنة. Or Allah Ta'ala would give him a treasure. Or he will be given a garden. يأكل منها. وقال in that he would eat from that garden. وقال الظالمون إن تتبعون إلا رجلا مسحورا. And the dhalimeen, the unjust people, the unfair people said that you are following a man who is bewitched, who is under a magic spell. So now he is not a magician. He is not a magician. He is under a magic spell. Okay. Make up your mind. Which one is he? Is he a poet? Is he crazy? Is he a magician? Is he under a magic spell? Everything goes. انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال فضلوا فلا يستطيعون سبيلا. And Allah Ta'ala continues with ayats in Surah Al-Furqan. See how Allah Ta'ala, how they gave you the examples, that the issues that they're raising. فَضَلُّوا. So they went astray and they cannot find the straight path for them. It became, it got to a point where it became, you know, things that are absolutely ridiculous. Look what Allah Ta'ala documents. Remember, we said the best source of the seerah is the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala documents what they said in Surah Al-Isra. They said, لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. We are not going to become believers until you bring a spring from the ground. أَوْ تَكُونَ لَكَ جَنَّةٌ مِنْ نَخِيلٍ وَعِنَبٍ فَتُفَجَّرَ الْأَنْهَارَ خِلَالَهَا تَفْجِرًا. Or that you will have a garden made of palm trees and grapes, and you the water will be gushing out from them, you know, from the garden. أو تسقط السماء كما زعمت علينا كسفة. Or let the sky fall upon us in pieces. Okay, meaning the sky is going to crumble. We want you to crumble the sky and let it fall on us in pieces. أو تأتي بالله. Or you bring Allah himself. والملائكة. Allah, even Allah والعياذ بالله, he's not enough. You bring the angels as well. والملائكة قبيلة with him. With Allah Ta'ala, you bring the angels. أَوْ يَكُونَ لَكَ بَيْتٌ مِّن زُخْرُفٍ. Or that you have a house made of gold. You have a house made of gold. أَوْ تَرْقَى فِي السَّمَاءِ. Or that we see you ascend in the heavens. أَوْ وَلَن نُؤْمِنَ رُقِيَّكَ. Then, but even if you ascend to the heavens, we're not going to believe. حَتَّى تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا كِتَابًا نَقْرَأُهُ. Until you, we're not going to believe that you actually went up. Until you bring us back a book that we can read. They could not read. They're ummiyin. They're people who are unlettered. You know? They're saying, bring us a book from the heavens for read it. And what was the response? قل سبحان ربي. Allah Ta'ala tells them, say, praise be my Lord. هل كنت إلا بشر رسولا. Am I anything but a human messenger? He's a human being and he's a messenger. And all of this nonsense that they're listed, we want this, we want this, we want that. You know, he brought them the Quran. He brought them a proof to show that he's a messenger. Why don't you think of that? Why do you need a book to come back? Why do you need to see Allah Ta'ala? You believe in him anyway. The problem is not with Allah. The problem is not with the angels, because they believed in the angels, but they said that they're females. But they believed in the angels. So why do you need all of this? What you need is to examine what the person, what this man is bringing. But all of this is just to stir just empty challenges or things just to be argumentative. Now, of course, another thing that they started, by the way, is to start spreading news, start spreading falsehoods about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, and about the Quran, about his personality. So all of that so that they would prevent the people from actually listening to what the man was saying. You know, so they started saying about the Quran, أساطير الأولين. أساطير الأولين اكتتبها فهي تملى عليه بكرة وأصيلة. That these are the أساطير, the legends of the past. Okay, meaning that he brings legends, other people bring other legends, meaning there's nothing special here. So this is these are the legends of the predecessors. And اكتتبها, he had them written for him, فهي تملى عليه, and they are being given to him in the morning and at night. What did they say? إن هذا إلا إفكن افتراه وأعانه عليه قوم آخرون. This is nothing but fabrications and lies which he made up, and he was assisted with others for it. Then they said إنما يعلمه بشر. They said actually again the discrepancies and the conflicts in what they have an incoherent message in how to deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So finally they said, okay, he's being taught by a human being. The human being was actually a Roman boy, a Christian boy, who was a blacksmith. And Allah Ta'ala, in response to them, he said, because he's teaching them, so the Quran is coming from him, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَهَذَا لِسَانُ الْعَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. That this is, the person could not speak Arabic. When you talk about inconsistent, incoherent response, the person could not speak Arabic properly. So they say, Allah Ta'ala is saying, the language of the person they're referring to is Ajami, non-Arabic. You know, it's not Arabic. But this, Al-Quran, لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. This is a clear Arabic tongue, a clear Arabic language. And of course, the Quran Al-Kareem would comfort him all the time. You know, and that's one of the hikam, one of the wisdoms, why the Quran was revealed over 23 years. It accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of his journey, and that's why anybody who needs to carry the Quran or to carry the da'wah of Islam, to communicate with the people about Islam, the Quran cannot be separable from him. Because the Quran, even though it's comforting the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comforts the believers. And the person, you will see many things. And the Quran is always should always be in the company of anybody who carries the da'wah. Look what Allah Ta'ala says. وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Other messengers were called liars like you. So you're not different in that aspect. Other messengers were called liars before you. فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا. And they exercised patience. They showed patience when they were called liars. وَأُوذُوا. And they were harmed. They were harmed. حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Until our victory came to them. And look at the Arabic language, by the way. When he says, he did not say حَتَّى أَتَى النَّصْرُ مَثَلًا. You know, example, until victory came. He said حَتَّى أَتَى نَصْرُنَا. And he did not say حَتَّى أَتَى نَصْرِي. That until my victory came. He said until our victory came. He's speaking in what they call Nun al-Azama, the majesty, the Nun of the majesty, that you're not Allah Ta'ala, yes, he's alone, but at the same time, in his majesty, the victory, our victory, is coming to you. وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. Look at how comforting it is. This is the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, the sunnah of Allah Ta'ala, and the victory of Allah Ta'ala is set. You know, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَأِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And you had the news from the previous messengers. And that's what you find the ayat in Mecca, many ayat referring to the messengers, to the previous messengers, and how they were, some of them were, mistreated, and some of them were killed, and some of them were abused, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So Allah Ta'ala comforts them with that. So now they had a season of al-Hajj was coming. And this was actually in the early stages of the public da'wah. So the season of Hajj came, and they said that we wanted to have a coherent message to the people, because when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now is calling for Islam, and the Hajj season comes, because remember, the Hajj actually was a ritual from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then it changed with the mushrikeen, with the idol worshippers, they changed aspects of it, you know, but still in the as a concept of Hajj, going to Kaaba and doing the tawaf and all of that, you know, that was actually, that existed before Islam. And of course, just as a side note again, anything that existed before Islam and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved by either verbally or seeing it being practiced and remaining quiet, you know, automatically becomes part of the Sharia. And for example, contracts, how you buy, sell, what you buy, sell, the silence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on some of the transactions from Jahiliyyah, actually that's how they became Islamic. That's how they became Islamic contracts. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by definition, he would never be quiet, you know, when there is a need to speak. So if Allah Ta'ala forbade such an action, for example, riba usury is made haram. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the, you know, all usury, all riba is under my foot. That was his expression, is under my foot. It's an Arabic expression meaning that it's null and void. And the first is the riba of al-Abbas, his uncle. You know, the first riba is the riba of al-Abbas. So when if there a transaction that's haram, he's going to stop it. A practice, for example, in al-Hajj, some women used to do tawaf naked around the Kaaba. That was in the Jahiliyyah, you know. And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course, forbade that. So things that are the fact that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained quiet, it means that they are approved. So the Hajj, the people or Quraysh is preparing for the season. People are coming from for al-Hajj. What are we going to tell the people about Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? So al-Walid bin Mughira is one of the leaders of Quraysh. He's the one who initiated the discussion. He said, you know, the people are coming, so we need to do to say something unified, ajmi'u fihi ra'yan wahidan, meaning have a unified opinion, a unified statement. It's a political statement you have to issue. You have to get it out. It has to be one statement. And what he says, وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا فَيُكَذِّبَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. You know, and do not disagree with each other. Do not have different statements where you start actually calling each other liars. Meaning what? We all know, you know, we all know that we are making up a lie, but we have to be consistent when we lie. We cannot, you know, you lie this way, I lie that way. We have to be consistent with the lie. And that's really exactly what he said and what he did as well, you know. So what did they said? Okay, فَأَنْتَقُلْ. So tell us what to say. You know, they told him. He said, no, you go ahead saying, فَقُولُوا أَسْمَعْ. You say it, I will listen. قَالُوا نَقُولُ كَاهِنْ. We will say that he's a priest. He's a monk, priest. He said, لَا وَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ بِكَاهِنْ. No, by Allah, he's not a priest. You know, فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْنَا الْكُهَّانِ. You know, that we see how the priests talk, you know, they mumble and they whisper things and like that. They call it zamzamat al-kahin, the person who just say, you know, and you don't know what they're saying, you know, saying, and sometimes when they say it and they make things rhyme, he said, wala sajra. This is not the speech of a priest or a, you know, or nor is it the rhyme of a priest. They said, okay, نقول مجنون. We'll say he's crazy because now it's the official position. So الوليد بن مغيرة said ما هو بمجنون. He's not crazy. He's not mad. لقد رأينا الجنون وعرفنا. We know what craziness is and we know the symptoms of craziness, madness. You know, ما هو بخنقه ولا تخالجه ولا وسوسته. It's not the way that crazy person, insane person acts. So they said, okay, we say a sha'ir. We say he's a poet. He said, he is not a poet. We know what poetry is. رجزه وهجزه وقريضه ومقبوضه ومبسوطه. And he started listing the types of Arabic poetry. You know, because there are different types of Arabic poetry. He said, we know what poetry is. And this is not one of them. This is not poetry. They said, okay, we say a magician, ساحر. He said, ما هو بساحر? And you know, he said, we know it's not a magician. لقد رأينا السحارة وسحرهم. We know what magicians do and how they, you know, فما هو بنفثهم ولا عقدهم. They, you know, the one practice of jahiliya in or amongst the magicians in the jahiliya, or even after Islam, they used to take a string, you know, and they would tie a knot with the string and say things on it, and tie another knot and make things on it, and, you know, say things on it like that. So this is actually what Surah Al-Falaq refers to, you know, من شر النفاثات بالعقد, the one who blows and whispers on the knots. So that was a practice that they used to do. So they said that, you know, he's not a magician. They said, come on, يعني, we give up. فما نقول. What do you want us to say? Enough. You know, so he said, by Allah, إِنَّ لِقَوْلِهِ لَحَلَاوَةِ, that his speech has sweetness. وَإِنَّ أَصْلِهِ لَعَدَقِ, and its roots are deeply rooted. You know, the adaq is like the palm tree that's very deeply rooted. وَإِنَّ فَرْعَهُ لَجُنَاهُ, and the branches of it is full of fruit. Meaning when you read the Qur'an al-Kareem is not only solid so that there are no errors, it's very well established language, it's very, you know, eloquent, etc. But even the meanings and what you get out of it is in abundance. وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِقَائِلِينَ مِنْ هَذَا شَيْئًا إِلَّا عُرِفَ أَنَّهُ بَاطِلٌ. And if you say anything, what you're suggesting, well, that he's a poet, he's a crazy, he's separating between men and, you know, and the man and his family and all of this, they will know that you are lying. It's falsehood. وَإِنَّ أَقْرَبَ الْقَوْلِ فِيهِ لَأَنْ تَقُولُ سَاحِرٌ. And the closest that you can say, he's a magician. Why? He bewitches people's minds. How does he bewitch them? How does he, you know, because, and we'll give a couple of examples, inshallah, before we close out. He recites the Quran al-Kareem and the people are mesmerized. A person who is now a kafir all his life and a disbeliever, etc., all of a sudden he says, I'm a Muslim, on the spot. He just, the speech is like magic, the speech of the Quran, you know. In another, by the way, in other riwayat, in other reports, Al-Walid actually, when they said, okay, tell us what you want us to say, he said, let me think. أَمْهِلُونِ حَتَّى أُفَكِّرَ فِي ذَلِكَ. So he went home thinking, you know, how, what am I going to say about Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And that's the Surah Al-Muddathir, the first, I think, 16 ayah from 11 to 16, about five ayat were revealed about him. You know, إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ. He thought, estimated. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. Woe to him, or death to him, how he estimated. ثم قتل كيف قدر. Then woe to him, how he estimated. ثم نظر. Then he thought. ثم عبس وبصر. Then he frowned. And then he, you know, he describes even the movements that the man was doing. ثم أدبر واستكبر. Then he turned and became arrogant. He put himself upon above the truth. فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر. And he said, this is nothing but magic. You know. In هذا إلا قول البشر. This is nothing but speech of a human being. So anyway, they decided on that. They decided on that decision that this is what we're going to tell the people. He's a magician. So now everybody who's coming to the season of Al-Hajj, you know, they would do what? they, as soon as they arrive, Quraysh, the leaders of Quraysh would take them. They go to their manazil, where they land. They used to come and pick different spots, and you know where they bring their camels and their, you know, their stuff for al-Hajj. So they started going to them, and nobody would pass by without them telling them what to be careful of the Prophet. And the leader of that campaign was Abu Lahab. The leader of that campaign was his uncle. And both of his children, by the way, as if you remember, we mentioned this, both of his children, Utba and Utayba, were married to the daughters of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So not only his uncle, but also in-laws, you know, and he was the one who was leading. And just, by the way, Abu Lahab, unless I'm mixing him, and actually, let me confirm the report, because I might be mixing him with Abu Jahl. But Abu Lahab was walking after him in the markets, and they would say, لا تطيعوه فإنه صابئ كذاب. Do not follow him, because he's somebody who left the religion of his forefathers, and he's a liar, you know. And imagine that. In the other reports, there are other reports where he was actually also stoning his feet, walking around, grabbing, you know, stones and stoning his feet while he was walking around. So, but what happened as a result? Actually, that added publicity to the Prophet ﷺ. It backfired. Because now the Prophet ﷺ did not have to go to every person who came in for them to even hear that he's there. Other people were doing the campaigning for him. So they actually, in a way, and that's why some people say there is nothing called bad campaign or bad, you know, the campaign is always good campaign. It's always, you know, example. The most confrontation that Islam received in the West, in America, was after 9/11. The most, you know, I mean, they started talking about the terrorists next door, and I mean, really, they went all out. So what was the reaction to that campaign, which was not done by Muslims, it was done by non-Muslims? What was the reaction? The Quran was sold out in the bookstores. There were no copies of the Quran now, does that mean that there is actually no negative consequences? Of course not. But still, you know, actually, you listen to some of the stories about people who embraced Islam. It was the interest became after 9/11 and after the media campaign and the negative campaign against Islam and, you know, making it barbaric religion and backwards and violent and all the terrorists and all of that, and actually in many ways it backfired. And they used to also, by the way, and you look at one of their campaign against the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, they would go to any person of honor, of any of influence, you know, they would say, be careful, there's this guy who's calling for this, he's a liar, don't follow him, etc. And he's a magician, he will bewitch you. One of them was Tufail bin Amr al-Dawsi, you know. Tufail bin Amr, and he was a poet, and he was known to be a smart man. You know, people knew that he was very smart, very intelligent, and he was a poet. So, you know, and he was the head of Qabil al-Daws, the tribe of Daws. He came to Mecca for al-Hajj. So the people, before he even arrived, you know, they met him and greeted him and honored him, etc. And they said, Ya Tufail, O Tufail, you came to our land, you came to our country. وَهَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِنَا قَدْ أَعْضَلَ بِنَا. And this man who's amongst us, you know, he's giving us problems. We don't know what to do with him. He divided our jama'ah, our group. And he dispersed us. And his speech, وَإِنَّمَا قَوْلُهُ كَالسِّحْرِ. His speech is like magic. You know, he separates between the man and his father. Because if the father, let's say, is a mushrik, non-Muslim, and that's a Muslim, that's it. You join the Muslim camp, so to speak. It's not about severing ties, but they viewed, you know, your support, your loyalty is with your family always. And Islam does not put that. Islam does not break the family. You still have, if your mother, your father, your daughter, your cousin, whatever, they're non-Muslims, you still keep good relations, good family ties. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And you, in any worldly affair, you take care of your mother, you take care of your father, etc. But at the end of the day, you know, you're doing that because you are a Muslim order to do that. You know, so it's not, you know, just because, you know, truth or falsehood, I'm going to be with my parents. No, you take care of your parents. But if they tell you to do something that's against Islam, you do not do that. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If they strive you, if they pressure you to associate partners with me without knowledge, then do not obey them and be kind to them in the worldly affairs. So anyway, so they're saying he's separating between the man and his wife, etc. So do not talk to him, do not listen to him, be careful. You know, this man is, it's like he's gonna, you know. So Tufayl says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا زَالُ بِي حَتَّى أَجْمَعْتُ أَلَّا أَسْمَعَ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَلَا أُكَلِّمَهُ. That, but they kept on pushing me until I made up my mind. I'm not going to hear him out. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to talk to him, to the point where I put cotton in my ear, in my ears. That I don't want to listen to him. حتى حشوت أذني. But when he said, when I went to the masjid, you know, it somehow I found him standing making salah near the Kaaba. Because the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray right in front of the people in the in front of the Kaaba. So I went and I was close to him. So Allah Ta'ala, you know, decided or had it written that I would hear some of what he said. You know, فَأَبَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْمِعَنِي بَعْضَ قَوْلِهِ. فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامًا حَسْنًا. I heard good things. You know, that's the problem. He's got cotton, I'm not listening. But he said, I heard good things. Until he said, فَعَرَضَ عَلَيْهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم recited, you know, offered, you know, presented Islam to him. وَتَلَى عَلَيَّ الْقُرْآنِ. You know, and recited the Quran. And what did the Tufayl says? فَوَاللَّهِ مَا سَمِعْتُ قَوْلًا قَطْ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ وَلَا أَمْرًا أَعْدَلَ مِنْهُ فَأَسْلَمْتُ وَشَهِدْتُ شَهَادَةَ الْحَقِّ. That I never heard anything that is better speech than the Quran, and nothing more just or fair than what this message came. So I became a Muslim. Dhimad al-Uzdi, you know, Dhimad al-Uzdi actually was somebody who used to do spells for people who are under magic. Okay, that was his job. I don't know, but that was what he did in Jahiliyyah. You know, قدم مكة. He came to Mecca and he heard from some of the people said that Muhammad is crazy. Stay away from him. So he said, if I want, you know, he's crazy, maybe I can cure him. Maybe I can do something because, you know, I can do something to him that would cure him. And Allah would cure him because of me. You know, so I went, he said, فلقي. So he said, oh, Muhammad, I do the you know, the ruqya, the you know, the magic spells and I help the people like that, you know. Do you want me to do that to you? So what did the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond with? He said, "Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu. Man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd." This is a speech the Prophet ﷺ still is about to start. All he said that indeed all praise belongs to Allah. We thank him and we seek his help. Whomever Allah guides, nobody can take astray. And whomever Allah Ta'ala leads astray, nobody can guide him. And I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, his slave and messenger. Now, he's about to, this is what they normally say as the introduction. He's about to speak. So he said, Dhimad said, A'ad alayya kalimatik. You know, repeat, say it again. So Rasul ﷺ said exactly what he said before a second time. He said, A'ad, third time, say it again. The Prophet ﷺ recited it again. You know, when he recited it, when he recited, he said, you know, I heard the speech of priests, and I heard magicians, and I heard poets, but I have never heard words like these. You know, give me your hand and I will shake it, so you know, give you the bay'ah, the pledge of allegiance that I will become a Muslim. And he became a Muslim on the spot. Again, yani honestly, yani this we say this in khutbah al-jum'ah. You know, who does not say this? This is the intro. But nobody thinks of it that it is such a, you know, mind-blowing statement. But for somebody who understands the Arabic and understands the intricacies of the Arabic, the meaning, the structure, the balagha, the eloquence, all of this, for them, this is something that's out of the world. I mean, for somebody says, just tell me, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm a Muslim. Like that? Yes, like that, you know. And that's why the major crime that was committed against Islam in the 20th century, and it's still, of course, the crime continues, is against the Arabic language and teaching the Muslims the Arabic language. Without the Arabic language, you and I will never appreciate the Quran al-Kareem as it should be appreciated. Without the Arabic language, there is no Islamic knowledge. You'll always know what others said. You can never reach it yourself. You can never perform ijtihad yourself. Because without the Arabic language is a medium of communication. The power, the impact, you know, of the Quran. When people, when Allah Ta'ala, or when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would read Surah At-Tawbah, you know, to the people who are about to go to war, the impact of these ayat is, you know, will transform you. But if you don't know what they mean, they just recite nicely like Abdul Samad, Abdul Basr, Abdul Samad, or Husari, or somebody like that. But what they mean, the impact, is not appreciated. Because of time, inshallah ta'ala, we'll stop here. And we'll continue, inshallah, for another technique that they followed to try to stop the message of Islam from spreading, inshallah. And that will be next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا